This is Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. You may be on the road, at your desk, or busy at home. Wherever you are, we're grateful that you've tuned into the program today. You've probably noticed that the news these days isn't all that encouraging. But the good news of Jesus Christ breaks through all that clutter with hope and purpose. And that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. If you're not able to hang with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, RichardEllisTalks.com. In fact, all of Richard's talks are right there for you, RichardEllisTalks.com. So with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Showerhead. A couple of things I'd like to share with you. They did some research about how many men does it take to change a roll of toilet paper, and really don't know because it never happens, they found out. Found another story about a Sunday school teacher of preschoolers who was concerned that his students might be a little confused about Jesus Christ because of the Christmas season emphasis on his birth. He wanted to make sure that they understood that the birth of Jesus occurred for real. He asked his class, "Where is Jesus today?" Stephen raised his hand and said, "He's in heaven." Mary was called on and answered, "He's in my heart." Little Johnny, waving his hand furiously, blurted out, I know, he's in our bathroom." The whole class got very quiet, looked at the teacher, and waited for a response. The teacher was completely at a loss for a few very long seconds, finally gathered his wits and asked little Johnny how he knew this. Little Johnny said, "Well, every morning my father gets up, bangs on the bathroom door, and yells, 'Good Lord, are you still in there?'" All right, the title today is Showerhead. And this is my showerhead right here. I'm not sure what you call all these parts, but this part right here connects to the pipe that comes out of the wall, right? And then this shower head part, you can detach it, it's there, and then I've got one of these hose things that's got water still coming out of it. Just took it down this morning, but there you go. And you can kind of slide the hose thing with another shower head attachment, and you can kind of get hit with both shower heads at the same time, or you can turn this one on or off, and that's all fine and dandy. But the other day, the hot water side started dripping. And it kept dripping. And I thought, well, I'll just turn it off, you know, keep turning it. Well, it wouldn't go anymore. And when the hot water side is dripping, and it drips, the hot water heater is running, trying to keep up with the drip. So finally somebody came in, they went to work on the shower head. Well, he took the part inside out, got it fixed, finally, stopped the dripping. So I got back in the next morning to take a shower. Shower head's there, everything's fine, and I turned the water. I just left the sink in the bathroom, there's water there, I got in the shower, and nothing came out of the shower head. So I climbed in there, a man gonna fix it. Got in there and turned all these nozzles and thought, well, something, surely. I thought, well, I went back to the sink, am I sure? Was the water on? Because he had to turn it off to fix it, so what's wrong with my shower head? So I got a big old wrench that I keep with myself at all times. I took the whole shower head, like I have here in my hand, I took the entire thing off. And when I unscrewed this part, this one, everybody's got these shower heads like this. When I unscrewed that little part right there, I looked down inside where the black washer was, and there was a little tiny pile of debris in my shower head. And somehow, the pressure of the water had disintegrated part of the inside of the shower head, and when the water turned off, sometimes whatever's in the pipes will settle, and when the water came back through, it all hit. And this tiny little pile of debris had completely shut off my water. Now, here's what we're going to talk about today. In some ways, I am a shower head for God. And my job is to put out living water, and all it takes is a little internal debris, and everything stops. So I'm going to talk to you about my and your debris field. And you say, well, it's just these little bitty things in my life, and I've given everything else up, and I don't know what he wants. Like, does he want everything? Everything. And I'm going to ask you to go inside today a little bit, where only God himself with a big old wrench could open you up and poke in there and say, it's not lack of water pressure, it's not lack of living water, it's that I'm trying to get this water in you and through you, and it's your junk that's keeping that from happening. If you'll go to Psalm 24 first, I'm going to read you lots of verses today because honestly, I can't beat the Bible. So I'll try to read them fast and we'll be out of here. And we're going to go left to right. If you got a table of contents, you find Psalms, I'll call a verse or something, you can find that and we'll keep going through them. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 51, it's a pretty famous psalm that David wrote after it had been exposed that he had had an affair with Bathsheba. And I'll read parts of this. He cries out in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." It is one thing to read these verses. It's another thing to pray these verses. And if you expect God to change your life and to use your life to change anybody else's life, it only takes a few little pieces of junk to shut the whole thing down. Isaiah chapter 1, and I'd encourage you to read some verses around this as well, but Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, "Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." Now look what he says. You're showing up. You're keeping all the holidays. You're doing all the stuff. He says, but I'm sick of it. Because look at what happens. "I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." So they would gather and everybody come in and sit there with all their you-know-what. And think, well, God, well, we're here. What else do you want? I want everything. "Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Matthew 23, and Jesus is going hard at some religious people, scribes, Pharisees, the guys that should have been leading everybody else and known what was going on and should have known who he was. Matthew 23, 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 27, oddly enough, here's an attempt on the part of a completely pagan, lost person to do something that I don't think many Christians ever even think of doing. Matthew 27, jump in at verse 22. This is when Jesus is on trial and about to be crucified. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they said, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And he attempted to wash his hands and say, "I want nothing to do with this. This is not my decision," symbolically. Now, what I'm suggesting to you today, and as we go through these verses, is that you stop reading these scriptures, you stop listening to sermons about this stuff, and you take your shower head off, and you look inside, and you say, "God, this is the problem, right?" And he says, "Yeah, we've been talking about this for decades. It's still the problem. And you want me to let go of this and get this out of the way so you can use me? Yeah, that's what I want you to do." And see, some people sit in church and go, "Oh, praise the Lord, he's preaching this sermon all the evil people here need to hear. And God bless those people on the radio that are fornicating and, you know, all those terrible things they're doing out there." Why don't you start by getting the judgmental debris out of your own shower head instead of pointing at all these other people out there? There's all kind of junk that can get inside and shut you down, just shut you down. What was so still astonishing to me is that nothing came out of my shower head, and there was unbelievable water pressure behind it. And it couldn't blow it through. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. And I'm going to read you the first few verses of this to give you some context as to what can happen in your life. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, 'The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace'? Therefore he says, 'God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.'" And then verse 7, "Therefore," because of everything he said before, "therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Now, I don't think this happens to me enough, but every once in a while I find myself somewhere, usually by myself, and it's not just tears. There's some weeping that comes out of this old body. And the prayer that usually goes with it is, "God, I am tired of me. I am tired of my sin. I am sick of my own sin. I am tired of," and in my visual today on the shower head, one of the things, and I don't know how long it takes for you to get to this place, but whether you like it or not or know it or not, you will stand, I say by yourself. The beauty of this as a Christian is you will stand before Jesus, the judgment seat of Christ, which it describes it as. And as it turns out, your judge is your attorney. And your judge has made payment for everything you did. It's not hell that you will face. But I believe with all my heart, I will stand before him and give an account, as the scripture says, for the deeds done in the flesh. And the book says, I will suffer loss. I will know somehow. You say, but heaven, there won't be any pain. I'm not talking about heaven yet. I'm talking about giving an account. And I don't know how it's going to go down, but I don't want Jesus showing me a pile of little bitty crap that had clogged up the drain where his life could flow through my life and accomplish what he had left me here to accomplish. And you say, well, good for you, preacher. You're the preacher and you're the one of the elders, and that's what you people are supposed to do. You just, good for you, and you'll cover us, right?
Wrong testament. You cover yourself. You stand by yourself. You give an account to him yourself. I attended a funeral very recently of a man who sat right back there in the left one Sunday, brought his whole family. My brother had had an opportunity on a trip to spend hours sharing the gospel with this man, a lot of money, very brilliant man. And my brother said, you need to go visit this church, my brother's church. And I went to his funeral, and I told someone later, I said it was a double funeral because as far as I could tell, he died physically, but he died spiritually as well. I sat and cried in the funeral, and I didn't even know this man well. The reason I cried was there was no hope. There was talk of his family. There was talk of his business. There was talk of his recreation, and not a word said about God, not a word said about Jesus. He just lived, and he just died, and that was it. And I thought to myself later, I thought, you know what? This could be in Rome. This could be in Greece. This could be in any period of history. People sitting and acting like nothing's going on. There is no God. And if there is, I've made it. I'm a self-made man. I'll make it before him. I'll whip out some fast answer. We'll make a deal and I'll make heaven. You know what? You're going to cut a deal, you cut it with Jesus, period. You don't get to this God, you don't get to this heaven without Jesus. And see, well, you're talking about sin, you're talking about Jesus. You know what? You're never going to reach anybody. I'm never going to reach anybody without him. One of the most misquoted verses, people well-meaning, is this James chapter 4, and they'll quote it this way, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. You want to fight the devil without submitting to God? You're going to get your butt kicked. That's what's going to happen to you. The devil goes, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. But when you go to God and say, Lord, I give you my hands. I give you my eyes, my feet, my ears, my mind, my soul, my body, my spirit. I ask you to fill me, cleanse me, remove anything that could hinder you working through me. I submit myself completely to you. Then when the devil comes knocking, you got some authority, you got some power, and you got a God who will back that up and say, you get away from my boy. I got some more verses, but I think that's good. Rebecca asks me usually on Saturday nights what the title is and what I'm going to talk about, and I try to scare her and say, oh, it's too scary for me to tell you. So this morning, I knew I had to get the shower head out of the bathroom without her knowing about it. So I was stuck waiting for her to get her shower so that she'd go do her little thing and I could get it out. And I think I was brushing my teeth at the sink and she got in the shower. And this is what I heard her say in the shower. She said, wow, there's a lot of water pressure. She turned those deals on, and because this thing had been cleaned out, she didn't know that. That water was flowing, hot water, pressure. Amazing shower. Wow, there's a lot of pressure. And I stood there at the sink without being able to tell her, thought, wow, what a difference a little junk can make. So you say, well, God, it doesn't seem like my life's, it's just like a trickle or it's just completely shut off. What's wrong? He says, well, let's look inside there. Let's wash your hands. Let's cleanse your heart. What are you holding on to? You want to see me move? There's a passage in John 7, verse 37, says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We are supposed to have rivers of living water flowing out of our hearts into the lives of everyone around us. And nothing could stop it but a little bit of sin.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. If this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. It would make our day to know that Richard's Talks have helped you. So call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. And finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We'd be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, I'm going to give you an invitation today, and this may take a minute to do, but I'm going to ask you if you close your eyes when you pray or you just sit there, wherever you are driving around listening to this, wherever you may be, pull over, stop as soon as you can and say, okay, God, enough. It's not a question of living water. It's not a question of water pressure. It's me, and I know it. And I'm willing to yield whatever this is that's clogging this deal up. Whatever relationship, whatever thoughts, actions, habits, whatever I got to do, God, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of not being used and you doing through me what you designed me to do. So here it is, okay? And our Father, I thank you for your word. And there's plenty more verses about this. It's pretty much what got Jesus killed. All the debris, Lord, that clogs up our lives. Father, I know my stuff. I think I know my stuff. And I'm a little afraid to stand before you one day, Lord, because I'd hate to stand there and know that you were disappointed and it was so simple to fix the problem. So, Lord, whatever is going on in this room, as people talk to you quietly and beyond here, that we won't complicate this thing, Lord. It's usually simple stuff. It's just whether we're going to yield it or not, we're going to lock up or not. I thank you, Father, for the things that are given up today, the sins that are confessed, the hands that get cleaned, some weeping and mourning maybe that needs to happen somewhere along the way, and realize that we've shut down what you're trying to do, Lord, by choice, by sin, and there is a remedy. If we confess our sin, you said you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. I pray that the showerhead of your grace would open up even now, and make many people clean from the inside out. And Father, for people who say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You people seem to already have some kind of relationship with God, and I'm dying out here, and what you're describing doesn't work for me. Father, I pray for those people today that somehow sense the hopelessness of their lives and aware that there's got to be more than just nature and all these things that seem so real around us, Lord, that there's a reality beyond all this, and they believe that you are and that you are a rewarder of those that diligently go looking for you and seek you. May somebody today, Lord, just as simply as they know how, just say, God, look, I'm a mess, and I realize now that what got your son killed is sin, part of it my sin. I realize that he died on that cross to pay for my sin, to make me clean, to make me whole, that he was buried and raised from the dead, and not only is eternal life provided as a gift, but the forgiveness of sins. God, if you're offering this stuff as a gift, then I'm a taker. I'm a receiver. And I ask you to come live in me and through me. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I accept this gift of eternal life. Come live in me and through me and change me and show me how to do a little plumbing work in my own life along the way and make sure the pipes stay clean and the water flows to me and through me, that you can accomplish through me what you intended. Father, thank you that this isn't just a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo, that it really works, that you are real, that Jesus really lived and died, and he's really alive. And we pray that that would be more obvious every day, that he's alive in and through us. You're the best. You are the awesome God. And we thank you for coming after us and being patient with us, and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. But more importantly than that, it's our prayer that the message reaches your heart. So whether it made sense for the first time or encouraged you another time, we want to know about it. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before, or have waited for the right time. Well, we gotta believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We're grateful for your gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.